Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of series number 6 of Into the Word, our 4.5-year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. I love having you here, and I look forward to us traveling this inspired road for the next 4.5 years. And I would love for you to let me know if you have any questions or comments or any type of input whatsoever as we make this journey. And the best contact for me is my email address, thomasjshort@comcast.net. And the best place that you can find other materials as we go along is intotheword.net, which is the website that keeps track of this program, including, by the way, hot links to the podcast that is available through Podbean. Well, in the first few episodes of this time through, I want to do the same thing I did last time and talk about the scripture. Talk about what it is that we are studying. Now, before we get into that information, I think it might be helpful for me to introduce myself to any of you that are brand new to this particular program. And I hope that there are quite a few of you, and I hope that some of you that have been with me for a while are inviting others to join the journey with us. So my name is Thomas Short, and I have been a minister of Jesus Christ about 44 years, something in that neighborhood. Ever since I was a lay minister at a small Church of Christ in England, where I and my wife were stationed as members of the United States Air Force. Once we finished our duty service, we came back to the United States, and I immediately took off to Ozark Bible College at that time. It then became Christian College in Joplin, Missouri, which was not very far from where I grew up in southern Missouri. And I spent 5 years doing my undergraduate work there. I left with a couple of degrees. One was a Bachelor of Biblical Literature with an emphasis in New Testament. The other one was a Bachelor of Theology, again, with an emphasis in New Testament. After I'd finished there and was working in a church, I kind of got the desire to go back into the military as a chaplain. While I was doing my graduate work at Lincoln Christian Seminary in Lincoln, Illinois, I joined the Air Force Reserve. And lo and behold, Gulf War I rolled around, and my unit was activated. And so I spent 6 months first doing some retraining and then being deployed active duty to the Middle East. When I finished with that, it became evident from the Berlin Wall coming down that they were not going to need as many chaplains in the United States Air Force as they used to. And so they basically told me I needed to have other plans. So I abbreviated my master's program, wrote my thesis on the date of Jesus' crucifixion, and started looking for a full-time ministry. And that's what brought me to Michiana. And that happened in the latter part of 1991. And I've been here ever since. I've worked with several different congregations during that time, but I've spent the last 16 years working with the congregation at Elkhart East Christian Church near Bristol, Indiana. That's in the north part of Elkhart County. But while I was teaching at a Christian school back at the turn of the millennium and being an associate minister at the church where that school was housed, this is down in North Liberty, I just had this desire to do more. I was teaching in the school and helping kids, and I was preaching from time to time, but I was teaching Sunday morning Sunday school, and I was teaching Sunday night classes, and I was teaching Wednesday night classes, but I still wanted to do something more. And it came to my heart that I would like to teach on the radio through the Bible, verse by verse, and help people all over the area to have a better grasp of the entirety of Scripture. And so with the backing of the leadership at North Liberty Church of Christ, we came to Harvest at that time, 103.1, and started this program. That was in 2003. So that means I've been at this for 21 years now. We've been through the entirety of Scripture, verse by verse, 5 times. And I am, as I already said, very much looking forward to this 6th time through with you. We use as our theme passage 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, which says, all Scripture, and the word for Scripture has to do with something written down. That's very important, and I'll get back to that later. All Scripture is breathed out by God, or if you want to use the Latin phrase, inspired by God. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof. So teaching is passing knowledge on. Reproof is telling somebody that they've got the wrong understanding of something. For correction, that's giving the correct understanding of it. And for training in righteousness, that's helping people come to their peak, helping people come to their best. So it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be competent, capable, equipped for every good work. So that is our theme. That is my desire to help each one of you reach that potential as we make our way through all of God's inspired word over the next 4.5 years. And the reason I am motivated in this is because of what comes next in 2 Timothy, where Paul, the apostle, by the power of the Holy Spirit, tells his young protege, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Pass this information on about God, about Jesus, about the gospel, about the mission. Be ready in season and out of season, meaning always ready to give an answer to anyone that asks questions about God, about his word, about his intentions. That's a responsibility of every preacher, every minister. Reprove, so challenge people. Rebuke and exhort. Those are all the ideas of helping people get from a misunderstanding or a misapplication of life to where they should be according to God's word. And we do this with complete patience and teaching. And then comes the kicker here in verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but with itching ears they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And we've certainly seen that happen many, many times in the history of the faith of God. Old Testament and New Testament. And I hate seeing it happen in my own era where people seem to want to hire preachers and teachers that will tell them what they want to hear, not what God said to them through his written word. Verse number 4, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths or fictions. As for you, always be sober-minded, you know, keep your head screwed on straight, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, that's passing on God's good news, and fulfill your ministry. So that is the mandate of every preacher and teacher, and it is my mandate as I come here to this microphone on a regular basis to share God's word verse by verse with you. And so I hope you'll make the most of that. Now, another thing that I want you to understand about me is I grew up in southern Missouri, so I was a down-home sort of guy. My growing up language was quite idiomatic. I dropped my final G's and said y'all and things like that. And so every once in a while, you'll hear me fall back into that, especially if I've been speaking to somebody from down that way recently. But one of the other things is I try to just be me when I preach and teach. I don't try to take on a persona. From what the Apostle Paul taught, we are not supposed to be trying to dress up the Word of God in fancy ways. We just present it as it is. We present it so that people can understand it. And so as I speak here, we don't do any type of editing. They don't take out the ums and the ahs and the hiccups and the coughs and the sneezes or anything like that. You get what I teach as it happened right here in the studio. And when I'm sitting here, I imagine that I'm just sitting across the table from each of you. Or maybe I'm riding in the car with you. Or maybe we're sitting on your front porch or your back porch or out by the pool or the lake or wherever it is that you might be listening to this program. I imagine myself just being there with you and maybe a few others, and we're just talking Bible. And so I want you to just soak it up as best you can and be ready to use it in your day-to-day life, because that is exactly why this stuff was written down, as we just read here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the other things that I want you to keep in mind is that the entire Bible has a purpose. And so I don't camp in one place and really put a whole bunch of emphasis on one particular word and take forever to get through a passage of Scripture. We try to get through all of the Bible in 4.5 years. And that means we got to move along sometimes and let you soak up and sort out some of the things that should be within your ability to understand. Now, along that line, I will make this comment. Some of you have been Christians a good long time, and so this stuff should come easier for you. Some of you are brand new Christians, and it's all brand new. And so I will try to bring up some of the basics as we go to help those younger ones, those brand new baby Christians, or the seekers of Scripture, understand things that long-term students already know. Those of you that have been around for a while, just take it as a refresher when we come to those bits and pieces. But again, if you, any of you, have questions, you should reach out to me and ask, and I will do my best to pass that back to you. I also ask your indulgence. If it happens as I'm teaching here that I miscall a name, or I give a bad reference, or I say something that is not quite exactly what's on the page, because just like you, sometimes I misread things, sometimes I misremember things, and sometimes I conflate things, like Elijah and Elisha. I guarantee you, I will mess them up from time to time whenever we get to talking about them. So please, just correct whatever it was that was an error in my speaking, and just move along. I want to now start talking about the scripture we're going to go into. The Bible that we are reading from in English is made up of 66 books that have been inspired by God. That's how we find them in our Bible. It's divided into two groups, Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament is the larger section. It takes up about two-thirds of the Bible. It has 39 books, and they are all from the time before Jesus. The New Testament is made up of 27 books, and they are from the time of Jesus and afterward. Now, in the Old Testament, there are five books of Moses, which are the foundational books of the Old Testament. It is imperative that you understand these five books in order to understand the Old Testament, and they are quite beneficial in understanding the New Testament. They are, in order of appearance, Genesis, which is the first book that we'll start with, I believe, next Monday on our broadcast schedule. Genesis is God's big book of beginnings. It talks about the creation, how everything came to be. It talks about the fall, how things became as they are now after sin. It talks about the flood, which changed the world. It talks about the Tower of Babel, which changed languages. It talks about the stories of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, establishing the people of God that were used to bring the gospel into play. The book of Exodus is the story of Israel's miraculous escape from Egypt and their departure for the promised land. Leviticus is a rule book for the Levites and the priests of Israel to help the Israeli people coming out of Egypt to get ready for going into the promised land. And I guarantee you, if you try to read through the Bible from cover to cover, by the time you get to Leviticus, you might get a little bogged down. And we're going to try to overcome that in the way that we approach our study. Book of Numbers has two counts in it, two censuses. One at the beginning of the Exodus, those that came out of Egypt, and then one at the end of the Exodus, those that were going to go into the Promised Land. And then there's a few stories associated with that time period. And then finally, foundational book number five from Moses is Deuteronomy, literally the second law. It's Moses' final verbal address to the people of Israel, which is then written down at that time to help the Israelis going into the Promised Land to understand what God expected of them. So from there, you end up having other divisions of the Old Testament, like the next 12 books are of history. The next five books after that in our English Bibles are wisdom and poetry. The next five books after that are some major or famous prophets. And then the final 12 books of the Old Testament are the minor or not so famous prophets. And we will, Lord willing, get through all of those. The New Testament has five foundational books in it. The four Gospels are Matthew, which was written in the mid-40s by the Apostle Matthew for the Jewish people, telling the story of Jesus' life and ministry. And it contains a lot of Old Testament references fulfilled in Jesus because it's intended to help Jewish people understand Jesus. The book of John Mark was written in the mid-60s by Peter, the apostle's secretary at Rome, and it was written for the people at Rome. And because Peter preached all these little short stories about Jesus, that's exactly what the Gospel of Mark includes, a lot of short stories about Jesus from Peter's perspective. The Gospel of Luke, written also in the 60s, the early 60s, by a Gentile author. He's the only Gentile author in the Bible. He's Paul's traveling companion. He's a physician. He's also a prophet. And he wrote these for a man named Theophilus. But it's also for others who are lovers of God, because that's what Theophilus' name means. And it contains a lot of eyewitness accounts, particularly from women's perspectives that we'll find when we get to that book. And then finally, the Gospel of John, written in the mid-60s by the Apostle John, to, as he himself says, help people believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and through that, to have eternal life. And it has a lot of direct quotes from Jesus. So between those four Gospels, we have everything we need to know about Jesus' conception, his birth, his early childhood, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. So everything about the Gospel. And then the fifth book of foundation for the New Testament is the book of Acts. It was written in the mid-60s as kind of part two to the Gospel of Luke. And it also contains a lot of eyewitness information about the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ at Jerusalem, and then its expansion amongst first the Jewish people, and then into the Gentile world, and then all over the eastern end of the Mediterranean. And a lot of it is focused upon the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles during that time period. And so from there, the rest of the New Testament is made up of about 12 letters from the Apostle Paul. He is the major contributor to the letters of the New Testament. Then we have 8 other letters written by other apostles and prophets. This would be the book of Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude. All of these letters together are trying to help the growing church find its proper place and its proper attitude and its proper activity in the world of the first century, and to kind of lay down what was needed for all the generations that have followed since. And so the New Testament is very important for churches of our era to live correctly in our world. And then we have one book of prophecy in the New Testament, and that is the book of Revelation, which we just finished in series number 5. And it is all about the day of the Lord, which comes right before the second coming of Jesus, the millennial reign of Jesus, and then eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. And so that, in a nutshell, is our Bible in English. This Bible was written over a period of 1,600 years, from about 1,500 BC to 100 AD. That makes it very unique. It's more of a library than it is some sort of novel or some sort of reference tool. It was written on 3 different continents. Africa, where Egypt is located. Asia, which includes the Promised Land. And Europe, which is where some of Paul's letters were written from. It was written in three different source languages: ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, which was the language of the Jewish people when they came back from their Assyrian and Babylonian exile, and then Koine Greek, which was the universal trade language that Alexander the Great pushed upon the world of his time period, and which stuck around throughout the time period of the New Testament. It was written on all types of different perishable materials like stone and clay and papyrus and parchment and leather. And so that is why in our next session, we're going to end up talking about the transmission from one generation and those materials to the next. It was written by 40 different authors, at least, of widely variant backgrounds. Some of them were rich, some of them were poor, some were middle of the road. They were educated or not, popular, unpopular. They were using their own vocabularies and grammatical styles in various emotional states. And so this Bible was written with lots of different flavors in the mix, but it was also written touching upon some of the most controversial topics known to humanity. And yet, there are no true contradictions anywhere within the original text of the Bible. And that makes our Bibles exceptionally unique. And I want you to love your Bible. And I want you, in the process of this journey, to get to know it very well and to live by its inspired words to do God's will.